Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Wednesday, November 6th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Americans are awaiting results from Tuesday's presidential and congressional elections. Pre-election polls show a virtual tie between Democrat and Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump of the Republican Party. We'll talk live with VOA reporters across the country and at the election headquarters of Vice President Harris in Washington, D.C., and at former President Trump's headquarters in Florida. We'll also speak with our reporters in the states of Wisconsin and Georgia. So far, we can say that early results reported by the Associated Press and other media, including the VOA, show that Trump, the Republican Party candidate, has captured 178 electoral college votes. The Democratic Party's flag bearer, Harris, has won 99. A candidate that first reaches 270 wins the presidency. And good morning once again, and welcome to VOA's live coverage of this very important 2024 U.S. election. Joining me here in our Washington studio is VOA's Carol Van Dam. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, James. It's nice to be here. I just wanted to add one quick update of those numbers that you just gave. They just updated our VOA website on the election map, and they're now saying 198 electoral college votes for former President Trump, and the 99 number remains the same for Vice President Harris.
Thank you.
Sure. So we have standing by with us in Gwinnett County, Georgia, VOA's chief national correspondent, Steve Herman. That's, of course, one of the battleground states. Good morning, Steve. First of all, what is the significance of Georgia in this election?
Well, Georgia is one of the seven swing states that's going to decide who's going to be president. There's no doubt about that. But there's still a huge question as to which candidate is going to take each of these swing states. And you were just giving the electoral college vote total, but that does not include any of these seven swing states because they have not been called.
Right.
And the West Coast, the Arizona and Nevada voters, things have not closed up there yet. And we're here, although I think we'll get the results from Georgia fairly quickly, meaning in the next few hours, pretty definitively. But when we're talking about Arizona and Nevada, it could be days. Mm-hmm. But the key one really to watch, Carol, is Pennsylvania.
Right, because it's got the 19 delegates, or 19
right.
Electoral votes.
Electoral votes.
Yeah, and we should also, you're pointing out how it's we don't even know the seven battleground states. It's very early in the voting tabulation stage, right, Steve? And we don't know how this is going to turn out yet by any stretch, right?
Correct. And I think at this point, you'll get numbers about who's leading in each of these states. But until we start to close in perhaps on 80% of the returns from any of those states, and of course, it'll be the Associated Press and some of the major networks, and then VOA, based on those calls, will announce the what I would say is the unofficial winner of those particular states.
Right. How was voting day there, where you are in Gwinnett County, near the city of Atlanta?
Right. We're just northeast of Atlanta. This is a suburban community, probably one of the most ethnically diverse counties in the southeastern United States. Whites are a minority here, about 30%. Big African-American traditional population here, Asian-Americans, Hispanics. And it went pretty smoothly, a record turnout here in Gwinnett County. There were some hitches which resulted from what authorities are calling non-credible bomb threat. Mm. And that caused some polling stations to be closed for a period of time. Those stations reopened, and extra time past the 7 p.m. deadline was added on for the number of minutes that those polling stations had been closed. But that's the only big hitch we've had here in Georgia today.
You say there was a possible bomb threat. Did they ever verify there was any bomb around?
Well, I mean, they're considering these to be hoaxes. But what's very, very interesting, officials, including the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, are blaming the Russians for causing these disruptions, that they are, according to Brad Raffensperger and others, trying to interfere in the American election.
Got it. And we had those kinds of worries before tonight even happened, or, you know, tonight. It's still tonight here in the United States. There was a court ruling on Tuesday in Georgia about the election. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, there was a ruling affecting, you know, with deadlines for when ballots could be submitted and whether these voters are going to be able to get actual ballots in on time. It will affect a small number of voters. And yes, if the election is so close that it comes down to within a few thousand voters, then this could turn into a huge controversy. And we are likely to see a number of legal challenges to the returns, not only here in Georgia, but in other states. We know, and Donald Trump and his surrogates have made quite clear that if he loses, that they are unlikely to accept it, that they will claim that there was fraud or other mischief, as Donald Trump did 4 years ago, although we must point out that all of these legal challenges were not considered credible by the legal system.
Well, we'll be watching for that in the days ahead. Thanks, Steve. That's VOA's Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman speaking with us live from Gwinnett County, Georgia.
And joining us live from Madison, Wisconsin, is VOA's Ken Fairbaugh. And good morning to you, Ken.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. Wisconsin is one of the so-called battleground states. How was Election Day there?
Well, it started off actually very wet and windy. There was a storm front that moved in here overnight, and so as many people were getting ready, those who had not already cast their ballots by early voting, those who were getting ready to prepare to vote today, probably looked outside and were questioning how the weather was going to impact voter turnout. But there was a steady rain throughout most of the day, but basically everything here, at least as far as reporting here is concerned, up to the present moment, there haven't been too many irregularities, and it seems like we're looking at also some very robust and strong turnout here in the state of Wisconsin. Of course, you know, across the country, more than 80 million people cast early ballots. Wisconsin was also a place where many early ballots were cast. And so, you know, turnout here was robust, though. There were lines at the polling locations that I observed, that I attended. Two of the polling locations here in the capital city of Madison, which is in Dane County, which is also where the state government and the seat of the government here in the state is centered, but also it's where the University of Wisconsin is located. So, you know, voting here, there tends to be a large population center, and so there were lines, but not tremendously long lines like there seems to be in other states. But again, you know, a robust turnout here.
So the weather did not dampen the spirit of the voters.
No, I would say that, you know, there's probably some people that, you know, low propensity voters that might not have, you know, come out when they opened up the window and looked at the rain coming down here. But for the most part, it seems like there's going to be strong turnout, perhaps record turnout here in Wisconsin.
You know, as we mentioned earlier, that Wisconsin is one of the battleground states. But before I let you go, Ken, would you mind explaining to our listeners, particularly in Africa, one more time, if you can, the difference between electoral college and the popular vote? I have heard from a number of our listeners in Africa who seem very confused about the U.S. electoral system, if you don't mind.
So when voters turn up in states to cast their ballots, they are choosing their presidential preference as well as other candidates on the ballot. That includes races for the Senate and races for U.S. House seats. And so, you know, they're selecting their candidates of choice, their preferences in that. But these states are what are called winner-takes-all contests. So while each individual vote will count towards that person's status in the race in that state, the electoral votes in each state, and each state has a designation. Like Pennsylvania has 19, the state of Iowa has 6. The winner of the popular vote in that state takes all of the electoral votes, and that is what, except for, the, I should say, the state of Nebraska, in which they actually have one apportioned electoral vote that could go to, whichever party wins that certain area. But for the most part, the states, and particularly the battleground states, are winner-takes-all contests in which the winner of the popular vote in that state will be awarded the electoral college votes, and that total is what will wind up helping somebody propel to the White House. So that's why we've seen in the last several election cycles, when you count the ballots nationwide, the total popular vote of this country, it doesn't always actually line up to the person who wins the most electoral votes. That's why it's apportioned the way that it is throughout the states.
Kane, it's Carol here. If I can throw in a question. I'm wondering, yep. did you see long lines of people anywhere waiting to vote Tuesday, even though millions of people, of course, took part in early voting nationwide?
I didn't see long lines myself. I didn't observe them. I mean, I went to 3 or 4 different polling locations here throughout the city of Madison. I would say there was a steady stream of voters coming in, and particularly, in the hours before people would go to work, that's when I tried to position myself in different locations to be able to see what the turnout was like. And I'm just telling you this anecdotally myself after observing what I saw at polling locations. There were steady lines of people, but I wouldn't say that there were long lines wrapping around blocks. Now, I'm in Madison. I'm not entirely certain if that's the case in Milwaukee, which is also a large population center here in the state of Wisconsin. But by all accounts, turnout here has been robust.
You know, I just wondered because, in some places where there's big universities like Madison, there's more young people. And I thought maybe there's fewer polling sites around there and, on the campus, and you might see long lines for me, but maybe not.
Well, actually, the one thing about that to tell you is that when you do go around Madison, you see that there are definitely large amounts of areas where people can vote. Actually, in the hotel that I'm staying at, there's also a polling location right across the street from my hotel. So I think that they have certainly planned for the ability to allow there to be many different polling locations for there to not be crowds or at least long lines at one center or one polling location.
Okay, great. Kane, that's Kane Fairbauer, our reporter in the Midwest. We appreciate your time and coming on with us live tonight. Thanks, Kane.
Let's join our White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wadikuswara, who is at Vice President Harris's campaign headquarters at Howard University in Washington, D.C., if she's available. Good morning to you, Patsy.
Good morning or good evening from Howard University.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. What's the mood at the Harris headquarters there as we wait for the results?
Well, right now there's about 2,000 of Harris supporters. We're standing here looking at the big, giant Jumbotron where CNN is reading out the results. And every time they say that Harris is leading or Harris has won a state, of course, there's huge cheer. I would say that the mood right now is, I think people are a little nervous. I mean, they're trying to stay confident and keep hopeful. But they are, of course, concerned looking at the fact that, Donald Trump is right now ahead in terms of electoral college vote count. The campaign is telling us that they are projecting confidence. They say that there's better turnout in certain battleground states when it comes to, like, suburban women and college students. So, they're not giving up hope yet. Of course, the night is still young. But overall, the mood is, I would say, cautiously optimistic.
Patsy, why do you think Vice President Harris chose Howard University for her campaign headquarters?
Well, she went to Howard University. This is her alma mater, obviously. And, of course, the choice itself carries a symbolic significance, right? I mean, this is a center of Black excellence. This is a place where has long been the center for African-American culture, activism, and leadership. And her campaign also says that Harris's decision to host her election night event here reflects her commitment to minority communities, diversity, and inclusion. This is to highlight her personal and political connections to the institution and also the place where she developed her political views and forged ties to the black community, including through her sororities.
I have seen heavy fencing around businesses and government buildings here in Washington, D.C. What can you tell us about security and the fear of potential violence?
Well, I've been here since the morning, and then as soon as they let us into the Howard University campus around noon, I have been inside. So to tell you the truth, I haven't been outside at all since noon because, you know, I don't want to leave and then not be able to come back because security is quite tight. But this morning when I did walk in, a couple of the businesses around Howard University, I did see, you know, boarded up. But in terms of security, I don't think people around, at least the people that I spoke with this morning, felt any kind of anxiety or concern. They know that the security is tight. I think they're more anxious and nervous about the election results overall.
That's VOA White House Bureau Chief Patsy Whitaker-Squara with us here in Washington. Thanks, Patsy.
My pleasure.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam, along with James Buddy in Washington. Today is Wednesday, November 6th. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Many Americans have said they are filled with trepidation about what will happen next, especially if staunch Trump supporters do not hear what their candidate won. A few hours ago, I asked Georgetown University political scientist Nola Haynes what kinds of safety mechanisms are in place to ensure that election officials do their duty and announce results in a timely manner, as well as about U.S.-Africa relations if the balance of power switches in Congress.
Thankfully and unfortunately, we have a model that we can follow from 2020. So in many ways, a lot of situations are being preempted. For instance, you know, like leadership in Pennsylvania just spoke yesterday, I do believe, about how they have been beefing up, you know, their security apparatus, you know, as one of the states that's highly, highly coveted for this election. The FBI have been putting out a lot of warnings. They've been updating people about misinformation and disinformation. There are hotlines out there that the campaign put out about, you know, call if you have questions about anything, if you're seeing things, if you feel unsafe. There are protocols in place because of what happened in 2020, not just to protect the election, to protect voters, but also beyond that in terms of potential violence in the streets, potential violence at voting polls, especially in swing states.
There are many U.S. Senate and House of Representatives seats also up for grabs that are being decided, and it's not just about the presidential race, which could shift the balance of power in Congress. You have experience with U.S.-Africa relations. How might a majority Republican Senate and House change the way the U.S. Deals with African leaders? And, you know, when you talk about trade and investment, for example.
Well, it's very simple. It's about prioritization. And as we saw with the Biden-Harris administration, there was a sincere effort to, you know, strengthen U.S.-Africa ties in a way that hasn't been strengthened before, and specifically around the idea of partnership versus a kind of paternalistic approach. What I worry about, if it is a fully Republican Congress, will they prioritize repairing relationships and making new relationships on the continent?
Let's say Vice President Kamala Harris wins. She's elected president. Many of the Republicans during this campaign have said that she's the same as Joe Biden and nothing would change. Could we expect to see some changes in U.S.-Africa relations under a Harris administration?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you why. When you have roots to the continent, I don't care how far removed you are, that is something that stays with you. It lives with you. She's visited the continent. Her Jamaican roots, people tend to only think about chattel slavery in the context of the United States, but we were not the only ones who were enslaved. There were plantations around, you know, the Atlantic, around the country. When you have that legacy, that's something that never leaves you. So I say that to say this, they can say all that they want to, but she has made it very clear that Africa is part of what she cares about.
That is Georgetown University political scientist Nola Haynes speaking with me earlier today here in Washington.
At least six journalists have been denied media accreditation to cover Donald Trump's election night watch party, at least one of whom was told it was because of her coverage of the Trump campaign. From Washington, Liam Scott has the story for VOA.
Dozens, if not hundreds, of journalists will be at the watch party for Donald Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida on Tuesday night. But at least six won't be allowed in. The journalists from the online news sites Axios, Politico, and Puck were denied credentials by the Trump campaign. A team of four from Politico had initially been approved for the event. On Monday, Politico magazine reported that a white nationalist had been fired from working on the Trump campaign in Pennsylvania. On Tuesday morning, the Politico reporters and photographer were told their credentials had been withdrawn. Politico declined to comment to VOA. The political correspondent for Puck, Tara Palmieri, was publicly denied access by Trump campaign co-manager Chris LaCivita, who cited her coverage. Axios reporter Sophia Tsai was also denied a credential not long after she reported on anxiety within the Trump campaign, according to media reports. Tsai referred VOA to Axios' communications team. In a statement emailed to VOA, Axios editor-in-chief Aja Whitaker Moore defended Tsai, calling her an excellent reporter who has covered the 2024 presidential election with essential clinical coverage. VOA contacted the Trump campaign for comment, but as of early Tuesday evening had not received a response. Liam Scott, VOA News, Washington.
In addition to the threat we just heard about in Georgia, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has reported bomb threats at polling stations in multiple U.S. states on Election Day, adding that none were credible, but many appeared to be originating from Russia, according to the French news agency AFP. The 2024 U.S. presidential campaign has been a particularly volatile one, and security for Election Day has been ramped up to unprecedented levels, given concerns over possible civil unrest, election chicanery, and violence against poll workers. As our VOA reporter Steve Herman stated, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said the state had also identified the source of bomb threats that briefly disrupted voting at polling places there, and it was from Russia. He did not elaborate.
A U.S. judge on Tuesday denied a bid by a Republican to block seven counties in the battleground state of Georgia from accepting some absentee ballots and chided the party's lawyers for what he termed discrimination against political opponents. The Republican National Committee on Sunday sued the seven counties in Savannah federal court for allowing voters to return absentee ballots over the weekend and on Monday. They said the period was supposed to close on Friday and asked the court to block the counties from accepting the ballots. In a telephone hearing on Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Stan Baker said the county's Republicans were targeting had all been Democratic-leaning in previous elections.
And that's it for this Wednesday, November 6th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming on board with us this morning. Tune in again in 30 minutes for more of VOA Africa's extended coverage of the U.S. elections.
And for more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, plus my colleague, Carol Van Den, I'm James Butte in Washington.
Africa presents the latest news about Africa and the world and its news summaries. Africa in Brief airs every day at 400, 500 and 600 UTC. Give us 5 minutes of your time to be brought up to date. Africa in Brief, your trusted source for news.